Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, it's a great joy to be here at Immaculate Conception and to celebrate Mass with you all today. I also had the 8:30 earlier this morning, but as vocation director, my life is kind of all over the place. And in the past week, I've been in seven different places having Mass, from Sheffield Lake to Brunswick to Rocky River to East Lake to all over the place. But I will say that my heart feels most at home on Euclid Avenue. And the reason being is my home parish was Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Wycliffe. Was there from kindergarten all the way up until entering seminary. And then I moved to the seminary and lived there for 9 years, also on Euclid Avenue. I currently live at the cathedral downtown, but my office is still there, so is at the seminary. So very much home on Euclid Avenue. So it's good to be with you all today. Friday this week, a significant anniversary was celebrated in the city of Cleveland. And that anniversary is that it was the 10th anniversary of the Cavs winning the championship. And so in order to celebrate, I had a little bit of time in the afternoon, and so I final 5 minutes of the game. And I'll tell you this, like, I knew how it ended, but I kept thinking, like, well, maybe, like, I'm living in an episode of The Twilight Zone, and, like, LeBron's not going to get the block, Kyrie's not going to get the shot, Kevin Love stop at the top of the key, but, like, it still happened. And as I was watching it, like, I felt that deep level of anxiety that I felt 10 years ago. 10 years ago when I watched that championship game, I was down in, and we were watching it at like a restaurant. And I remember like the clock ticks down to zero. And immediately the announcer goes, "It's over, it's over. Cleveland is once again a city of champions." And I stood up and I just said, "I'm a champion." And then 1.6 million people poured into downtown Cleveland to celebrate the championship parade. Why? Because they were champions too. But here's the weird thing. I, neither any of the 1.6 million, with the exception of like 12 people, were actual champions or actually competed or actually won an NBA championship. But the amazing thing was like, their championship is mine. Their victory is my victory. I'm a champion. And so the similar thing is going on. I want you to keep that image in your mind because in the first reading, Jeremiah uses the same exact language. And so, like, acknowledge the fact that, like, what is Jeremiah? Jeremiah is a prophet, right? So the Lord has called him to a particular way of living, and part of his life as a prophet is to share and to speak God's word. And so as he's speaking God's word, he's telling people, like, hey, part of what God wants of you is for you to not be doing the things you're doing and maybe to change your life in some way. And what do we not like? Change. And so what does he hear? The whisperings of many, terror on every side. I don't want to change anything. I'm not going to listen to that guy. And Jeremiah is probably thinking, like, how am I going to do the thing that God asked me to do? Oh, because the God who called me is the God who is with me. He says, the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. And it's the sense that Jeremiah is like, I can't defeat these people. I can't win their hearts over. But guess what? God can. And so, like, I'm going to participate in his championship. I'm going to participate in his victory. I'm going to participate in his strength as his strength participates in me. And similarly, like, if you continue in that vein, we hear this amazing letter from St. Paul to the Romans where he talks. And he talks about the fact that, like, through one man, namely Adam, sin enters into the world. And because sin enters the world, and because of the sin of one, the many are affected by that, right? We're born into original sin. There's the sense of, like, that there's an imperfection, but, like, that we're not defined by that, but that God can even do something with that. And in and through the sacrament of baptism, like, we're washed clean of original sin. We're made new. But then he talks even further. He says, but, like, in the same way that, like, the one affected the many in Adam negatively, he looks to the person of Jesus Christ, and he says, similarly, through the one man, Jesus Christ, the many receive what? Grace from God, a gracious gift that overflows. And so to even make the consideration that, like, I have never been crucified, I have never been buried, and I have never raised from the dead. But Jesus has. And similarly, like, his victory over sin and death, his defeating of the powers of darkness, does something for me. Namely, I have life. I have access to a life of grace. And, like, think of the fact that, like, through this one person, Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, sent by the Father, like, the many experience so much. That's us. That's been humanity from the point of, like, the establishment of the church, that, like, through the action of one man, so many benefit. And so I think part of it is to see and to acknowledge, first and foremost, like, the action of God amid all of that. That, like, Jesus is the one in whom we live and move and have our being, and it's his desire to live and move and have his being within us. That, like, we who are baptized, I mentioned earlier that baptism is that which cleanses us of original sin, but so too, it conforms us to the person of Jesus Christ in a particular way. And so we have the name that of Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? But, like, for the life of Christ to be lived again within us. And it's the sense that, like, okay, like, come and experience what the Father is being given and how he is being given of to you. With it being Father's Day, too, just, like, making the evaluation, I think of, like, my own father is deceased, and I've got a brother and a sister. And I remember, like, after my dad had died, like, looking at, like, how my brother and my sister were mourning, and it was different. And it wasn't just different because, like, they're different people than me. Like, my dad, although one man, like, how he related to my brother was different than how he related to me and was different than how he related to my sister. Like, it wasn't just, like, you are the many, you are my children. No, like, you are my child. We've got this line that Jesus says in the gospel today where he's like, the Father knows all of creation. He creates it, right? And, like, if he cares about birds, think about how much more he cares about you, right? There's that great line. I think it's one of those funny lines, like, you are worth more than many sparrows. Oh, that's so nice. Thanks, Jesus, right? But it's the sense that, like, I know you. I know the hairs of your head. And the way in which God relates to us is not just simply as you know, the many, but, like, he sees you and knows you and loves you. And, like, that's the goodness of a father, is, like, I'm going to give life to my children uniquely and individually as they are. And for us to know that, like, okay, yes, through the one, the many experience salvation, but also, like, our call as Christians is that, like, you come to the altar today and you as one individual receive something. The life of God given within the Eucharist. Like, the source and the summit of who we are. That God, once again, says, this is who I am, given up for you and given to you. Not just given to you, but, like, given to you and given to you. And so, like, we as one experience the salvation of our God, but it's also the sense that, like, why does God give to the one? So that the many can also experience salvation and grace and mercy through you. And so, like, we see that, like, okay, if I'm to conform my life to that of Christ, like, my life is to be a life poured out in the same way that his is, so that those around me, my children, my family, my friends, my coworkers, my whomever, like, that they experience through the one that which is of God. And, like, that takes a lot of courage to, like, recognize the fact that, like, God is calling us out of this place into something new. Similarly, like, if you look at the gospel, like, Jesus, he says to the 12, he's like, hey, guys, don't be afraid. I oftentimes say that, like, the opposite of faith is not atheism or disbelief or just kind of a general sense of apathy, but, like, I think it's fear. Because, like, what does fear do? Like, it turns us in upon ourselves, and, like I think of, like, you watch a movie, and, like, the doors open, and there's, like, swinging chainsaws, and, like, what is your first thought to the people? Like, don't go in there. Stay where you are, right? You should be afraid if you see that. Don't go. Don't move. Be afraid. But faith is the sense of, like, it's a motivating principle that we recognize the presence of God, where God is, but also where God is calling us to be, and it requires a response. And he says, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid in going forth from this place as you're called to glorify the Lord by your life, as you're called as Christians to take what you've received? Because similarly, in the same way that Jeremiah recognized, guess what? This is a high and a lofty calling, and it is difficult to bring the love of Jesus Christ to people, particularly our family members and our friends and those in need. But guess what? In the same way that God was with Jeremiah as his mighty champion, he's with you. that like Jesus becomes Emmanuel laid in the crib in Bethlehem, but so too, Jesus becomes Emmanuel, God with us, as he once again makes himself known and present in the Eucharist that's received, and he does not remain as an external reality, but rather he enters in and says, okay, now I'm with you. And in the same way that like, okay, I recognize the sense that like, as I go forth from this place, it's not just merely a sense of I'm doing this because I'm doing this because I'm doing this. No, God, you are with me. You're there to sustain me. In the same way that your victory over sin and death conquered and brought life to the many, it brought life to me, and I want to bring life to those in need and those around me. And so as we look to like the beauty of our celebration here today, we see how the one has an influence upon the many. First and foremost, seeing the one Jesus Christ having an influence upon us as we come here together today, as we live and move and have our being in him and allow for him to live and move and have his being in us. But so too, the call is for us to also be that one for the sake of the many. For his victory is ours. His strength is given to us and bestowed upon us to say, okay, go forth. And so as there's this beautiful sense that at the end of Romans, it says, you know, the grace is given by the one man, Jesus Christ, to overflow. Like the love of God is poured out. And it's poured out in abundance, and it's poured out upon us. And it's the desire of Jesus for us to receive that love, to know that love, to know the love of the Father as one, and to live it and to give it for the sake of the many. Amen.